Good morning. Luma Digest with me, Noura. Monday, the 18th of May, and we're starting the week with something practical. Not hype, not speculation, just the actual work of building systems that work. So here's what stood out to me today. Someone built a 7-agent sales pipeline called Vortex, the kind of system that watches product usage, scores leads, drafts outreach emails, real production work. And the thing they want to share is not how clever the agents are. It's about topology, about how you connect them without creating a debugging nightmare. Because here's what happened when they started. The obvious approach, chain the agents together, each one passing output to the next, failed almost immediately. Agents started making routing decisions, conditional logic scattered everywhere, debugging became archaeology. You would trace a decision backward through 5 different agent outputs trying to work out why a lead got routed the wrong way. The fix was boring. One agent handles all routing, everything else is a leaf node. No agent talks to another except through shared state in Firestore. Star topology. It's the same pattern showing up in production multi-agent systems everywhere right now. At Beeson, they're running HR orchestration for over 6,000 enterprises using this exact shape. One router, many workers, clean audit trails. What makes Vortex interesting is the observability layer they built on top. It's called Hindsight. When a lead gets routed somewhere unexpected, you can reconstruct the entire decision chain, not months later, minutes later. Every agent logs to Firestore. The router logs its logic. The React dashboard updates in real time via OnSnapshot. This is what matters right now. Multi-agent systems are moving from research demos into production pipelines. The patterns that survive are the ones that let you debug at 2 a.m. when something breaks. If you're building agentic systems, the full breakdown is worth your time. It walks through normalization at the entry point, how shared state avoids agent-to-agent coupling, and why every routing decision needs to be observable, not flashy, scales. Right, different corner of the stack now. Someone built a production web backend in raw C++20. No frameworks, no external libraries, sockets, HTTP parsing, file serving, all from first principles. It's running 24/7 on a $6 DigitalOcean droplet, proxied through Nginx, protected by Cloudflare. The binary is under 500 kilobytes, memory footprint under 10 megabytes, cold start under 10 milliseconds. Now, this is not a case for everyone to go rewrite their backends in raw C++. That would be absurd. But here's why it matters. When you build something from scratch, sockets, HTTP parsing, systemd integration for persistence, HTTPS via Nginx reverse proxy, you learn where the real bottlenecks live. You understand why frameworks make the trade-offs they do. And you know when you actually need them. Most backends sit behind layers of abstraction. That's fine. Abstraction is useful. But when something breaks, or when you need to optimize for a constraint that your framework was not designed for, you need to know what's actually happening underneath. This developer documented the entire process, how they handled HTTPS termination at the proxy layer because implementing TLS in raw C++ is a bad idea, how they used systemd to keep the service alive, how they structured error handling so crashes did not take down the entire process. Production debugging patterns that only make sense when you've written the HTTP parser yourself. The backend conversation has shifted, not which framework, but what are you optimizing for? If you're building something latency sensitive or constrained by memory, or running on hardware where every megabyte counts, understanding the fundamentals changes what's possible. Now, over to quantum computing, and this one's important. A survey just landed covering 13 quantum vendors. The focus is control plane openness, whether you, as a researcher or developer, can actually access the pulse level controls that determine how qubits behave. And here's the story. The industry is bifurcating. IBM closed pulse level control in February 2025. You can still run circuits, but you cannot control the underlying pulses anymore. Meanwhile, neutral atom vendors and mid-tier platforms are opening it up. They're publishing the control schemas, the calibration data, the pulse sequences. Why does this matter? Reproducibility. If you cannot see the control plane, you cannot reproduce someone else's experiment. Cross-vendor benchmarking becomes impossible. You're comparing apples to something that might be an orange, but you cannot tell because the peel is locked. This survey documents the implications. It's not just academic. If you're building on quantum systems, you need to know whether the platform you're using will let you control what actually runs on the hardware, or whether you're limited to whatever the vendor exposes through their SDK. The neutral atom vendors are betting that openness wins. IBM is betting that abstraction wins. We will see which approach scales when quantum systems start doing economically useful work. Staying in quantum for one more. MIT and the University of Ottawa just published a roadmap exploring room temperature quantum materials for computing. not quantum computers themselves, the materials that could enable quantum behavior without cryogenic cooling. Right now, most quantum systems require temperatures near absolute zero. That's expensive. That limits where you can deploy them. That makes them impossible to integrate into consumer devices. The roadmap explores three paths: persistent memory using quantum states at room temperature, battery efficiency improvements by reducing energy loss in charge storage, device heat management using materials that maintain coherence without active cooling. This is early stage research, but the implications are huge. If quantum behavior becomes accessible at room temperature, the constraint is not cooling anymore. It's design, integration, software. Think about that for a second. And then, because apparently today is multi-agent coordination day, there's another paper worth knowing about. It's called SDOF, State Constrained Dispatch for Multi-Agent Orchestration. The approach treats multi-agent execution as a constrained state machine with per-agent divergence control. They tested it on HR workflows. 86.5% task completion rate. Zero illegal operations. The system blocked every single attempt by an agent to do something outside its allowed state transitions. This is the unsexy infrastructure work that makes agentic systems production ready. You cannot let agents do whatever they want. You need guardrails. You need a way to say, this agent can read this data but not write it, can call this API but not that one, can transition to these states but not those. The Vortex system uses topology to enforce constraints. SDOF uses state machines. Both are solving the same problem. How do you build multi-agent systems that do not explode when something unexpected happens? Okay, last one, and this is for anyone who builds for the web. The Navigation API just reached baseline support across major browsers. It's the replacement for the History API. If you've ever built client-side routing, single-page apps, progressive web apps, anything that updates the URL without a full-page reload, you know the History API is fine, it works, but it's awkward. Error handling is manual. URL updates are manual. You're managing state that the browser should probably manage for you. The Navigation API fixes that. Unified event model for SPA navigation, automatic URL updates, improved error handling, cleaner API surface. It's baseline now. That means it's supported everywhere that matters. If you're starting a new project, there's no reason to use the old API anymore. If you're maintaining an existing one, migration is straightforward, not a revolution, just better plumbing, which is what most web development actually is. So, stepping back from all of that, what strikes me today is how much of the real work is infrastructure. Topology choices for multi-agent systems, control plane access for quantum, state machines for guardrails, better APIs for routing. None of it is flashy. All of it matters. The systems that scale are the ones built on boring foundations, observable decision trails, clean abstractions, known constraints, debuggable failures. Worth thinking about for your own stack. And that's your Luma Digest for this morning. Thanks for being here. I'll see you tomorrow.